that they want or is standing in their way or some other thing. If a person is happy with his life, if he realizes that he has everything he could possibly want, on the contrary, he's very benevolent, he's very friendly. There's no reason, and when he sees that he shares in the same good with somebody else, there's an identification. So what it wants to show you is by Mishloach Monos and Matanos Avyon that they reached a level of recognition of the great value, the real good that they have is Torah. The real gold is the Torah. So they became very, when a person feels that way, he feels satisfied with life, he's extremely happy, he has everything he needs, so then it's easy for him to be good to another human being. It doesn't bother him. There's no competition, there's no competitor. In the world, in the material world, there's always competition. In the world of a person attached to the world of Chachma, there is no competition. And somebody else can, nobody can take it away from you. On the contrary, the more Chachma you have, the more Chachma you'll have. Because the Sichsuch Chaverim, people Chaverim, and then they're talking with other people in Torah. I mean, it's on the contrary. So it showed that they reached Kimu v'Kibbu, they reached a level of appreciation where there was no more, the competitive spirit was gone. The contrary, they recognize that they really have the true good, and because of the fact that other individuals, namely Jews, share in that good, so that gave them, that's the basis for real real achva and achdus. Ato echad v'shimcha echad. Mikamcha Yisrael goy echad baretz. What unifies Klal Yisrael is this chachma, the appreciation of chachma. Tamid chama abim shalom b'olam. Yeah. The difference between Neis Nistar and Neis Nigla is Neis Nigla gadert. Neis Nistar means the people are involved. Moro al kocha. So it was a musar haskel. That's why it affected them so much. The miraculous was minimized. Well, on the contrary, what really was maximized was the people that lived according to the system of Torah. That was a musar haskel. That was Kim Vikilah. Of course, God was involved. I mean, you see the timing, everything else. But that just shows you that that a person that lives according to Chachmas HaTorah is under Hashgacha. It's not an ace. I mean, Hashgacha is not an ace. I always say Hashgacha is not an ace. It doesn't say anyways, Avraham Avinu was under Hashgacha. It doesn't say it's an ace. Hashgacha is a reality. It's not an ace. A few points that I felt that we could elaborate on a little bit. We mentioned the Machlekes Chazal about whether Achashverosh was a side point. Just take this first. Whether Achashverosh was a Melech Tipesh or a Melech Pikeach, right? Gemara Megillah. So we explained, of course, nobody holds that he was a Tipesh. I mean, it's impossible to run a Malucha like that and be a Tipesh. It's impossible. And you see from the Gemara itself. And you learn Pshat in the Gemara, it's a you have to learn Pshat that it means questioning whether he was guided essentially by his reason, by his mind, or whether he was intelligent, but he rationalized. And you have to say that Pshat in the Gemara, otherwise you're going to come out of the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, that one mind is going to hold the other one's a tippish. It's impossible. Okay. So, but another question occurred to me. What did Chazal care whether Achashverosh was a tippish or not? Who cares? He was a Goya. I mean, what are we interested in? Why does it concern us? Why were they concerned about it, whether Achashverosh was a Melech Tipesh or not? Everybody knows the Machlekes. But why should they be concerned about it? I mean, it has to be some kind of a connection there between Achashverosh and us. You know what I mean? That would cause Chazal to be interested in this point. What do we care if it's Melech Tipesh or not? Oh, Goya, Melech, who cares? Plenty of Goyish and Melechim. We're going to go through the history of Goyish and Melechim and decide whether they were Tipshim or whether they were Pikchim. Who cares? But I think we gave the answer last week, basically. The answer is that what was Achashverosh, really? What was Achashverosh? See, Achashverosh was the first, maybe the first, I mean, he was the logical anti-Semite. That's what he was. Because Chazal say that he was a Hu Achashverosh Amad Berisho Mitchiloso Vatsofa. Which means he was a Russia till the end. It's mas means mas, and halachic definition of mas is always avdus. The way Ram explains why you have to pay, mas, because you're an evet, evet to the melech, avdus. So it means that he subordinated everybody. He imposed. They felt the ol hamalchus. He imposed an ol hamalchus on the people. So he was a rasha basically. But Chazal were curious about Ahasuerus because even though he was a rasha and a Sonei Yisrael, but he was a rational one. We explained last week why, because he saw that the rishis of Haman and Haman's evil nature would cause what was really going against him. You see, would have destroyed him. So he recognized that the Jews, as much as he hates them, that they're really loyal subjects. The Jews are really always good citizens. That's the truth of the matter. They build up the country, build up the economy, they're loyal to the government. That's part of the halachic system. And it's the only system where the only system that's really a truly just system, and that when you study the halachas in all those areas, you see that the halacha is completely objective, and that we paskin that a Jew is living in another country is an evet to the melech, because he's chayiv in taxes. What other system says that you're an evet to a stranger, a melech, even melech avodah zarah? Because the halacha is objective. The halacha is completely objective. An unbelievable way. The halacha demands that a person, even us, Jews, who have a different system, are considered avodim to a strange system. That's an unbelievable thing. It's an unbelievable thing. I mean, if you look into the history of the church, there are four doctors of the church. The first one, I believe it was Jerome. I think, am I right? Anyways, in his day, I believe it was one of the four. But anyways, in his day, the Goyim ransacked the burnt the shuls. They burnt the synagogues. So they came to him. He was, after all, the big religious leader. And he said, we can't pay these Jews back. He says, because they're infidels. So he paskin that they don't owe the Jews any money. And that's the height of the Christian ethic. And in Yadis we say that you're not permitted to be gonev das of an oved avodah zarah. How far does it go? That even if you give him meat that's nevela, and he thinks it's shchuta, which makes no difference to him, but you're not allowed to do that, because it's gonev das abrius. That's an objective system. Because he's going to think that you gave him something that was more valuable to you, so he's going to be, he'll be osir toda, he'll feel more of an obligation to you than you deserve. And to him makes no difference whatsoever. That's the halacha, even of an Ovid Varazar. That's the system of Yadis, the objective system. So Ahasuerus recognized that these Jews, much as I hate them, that they're the ones that it pays for me to embrace them. On the contrary, they're the best thing for my malucha. Okay? The strange kind of thing, a rational anti-Semite. That's the first rational anti-Semite. Well, maybe not the first, but the first one we know of in history. So you see, rational anti-Semite. So Chazal were very curious about that. You see, Chazal were curious about that. That's why they had the machlekes. The question is, was he really moved totally by rationality in the situation of Esther and Haman? And was he really such a rational anti-Semite? Or was he moved by other emotions? You see, Esther, whatever, you see, he had the strong emotions with regard to Esther. he wanted to know, and she gave in. She told him where she came from and the whole thing. So this is something he wanted. He found out that she's a bas malachim. She's, you know, he was impressed with aristocracy. Vashti was an aristocrat, and he was very happy. The question of Chazal, that's what I think the underlying question of Chazal is. Is it possible to have a guy like that, that's a son of Israel, but he should act totally rationally in this one respect, or no? Oh, no, he's really a melech tipesh, which means not a fool, he wouldn't do anything stupid, but he was moved primarily by emotion, but then he was supported by logic. He was supported by logic. That's the machlekes. That's why Chazal argue about this point. It's an interesting. They were curious about the phenomenon. What kind of a phenomenon is it? Is it possible for a person to be a total Russia, absolute Russia, and yet act completely rationally in this kind of a situation where he has a hatred against the Jew, but he overcomes the hatred because he recognized the rational? Or no, he was really moved by emotions, by other emotions. But it made sense, of course. The rational was a support. That's the difference between tipish and between pikeach. Pikeach means he's moved primarily by reason. Tipish means he's moved by an emotion, but he supports it. He supports it with reason. That's more like rationalizing. That's what Chazal were curious about. Yeah. The example of Ferdinand and Isabella was before the expulsion of the Jews from Spain. So Abarbanel came up with an ingenious plan, and he said, I'll be able to increase the wealth of the country unbelievably. But Torquemada said, are you going to sell him with a cross? He said, are you going to sell him for 30 pieces of silver? And that was the end of the whole thing. So there you see, that was Malach Tikvash. That was Malach Tikvash. Rich has mentioned Paro. But Paro really, if you look carefully, if you study the Parsha carefully, you see that Yosef really taught him all the ideas and Chachma. And he was very impressed with Chachma. Saying Chacham v'Navon Kamocha. That phrase is used with regard to Umos Olam later in Dvarim. That the Umos Olam will say Rakam Chacham v'Navon in Agaya Gadol Hazeh. Exact same expression. So you see that Paro was one that he appreciated the Chachma. He was moved by the Chachma. But Achashverosh was never moved by Chachma. So Achashverosh was Omad Berisho Mitchlos V'Atzofa. Paro had a lapse where he recognized the Chachma of Torah. So it's a different kind of personality. See. But Rabbi Amir mentioned Nixon. could be. He was the, he made many anti-Semitic statements, but yet he really helped the Jews. It could be he was that way. It's possible. What? Yeah, Belvedere Kissinger, and he helped Israel, yeah. He did make anti-Semitic statements, and it shows he's basically anti-Semitic. But, yeah. That shows that there is such a personality. That's the personality of an Achashverosh. That's why Chazal were curious about that. Okay, somebody asked me at the end of the shiur a good question. They said, why is it that the Megillah really ends with two mitzvahs? The mitzvah of Mishloach Monos Ish L'Re'ehu and Matanos L'Avyonim. That's a good question. I was thinking about it. And the Mishloach Manos and Matanos Lavyonim, apparently, if you look through and you read through the Megillah, you see, it repeats it a lot of times. Mishloach Manos, Yisrael, Matanos Lavyonim. That this epitomizes the whole change that took place in Klal Yisrael at that time. So why these two mitzvahs? So we mentioned last week that that Mishloach Manos, Mishloach Manos means is really Mishloach Manos is what? Is Reus on the highest level. Mishloach Manos Ish L'Re'ehu. It's Reus. So it says what, like the Tfilas Kohen Gadol. It says Shnas Reus I forgot the Lashon over there. It says and the absence of Kinov Sacharus. So you see that kin of a sacris, competitiveness, is considered evil. And I think there's something more here. I think what the Megillah is telling us is that really if a person would overcome his bad midos, he would have a natural avas abrios. An avas abrios is really a state of mind that a person would have naturally. whatever, emotionally also. It's a natural state in man. What prevents it is really the bad midos of a person. Bad midos of a person. The kino and the competitive spirit. That's what really removes the feeling of friendship towards another human being, because you're jealous of him. You don't want him. He's a threat to you. You see, that's what he may take something away that you have, or else he's liable to have something that you want. So, of course, the question is, why can't you have kina with regard to mitzvahs too? Kina so from Tarba Chachma. You see that you can have kina. Why can't I be mekane somebody else who has good midos? Simply, I'm envious of the fact that he has he's perfected and I'm not. You see, why can't that be a cause of kina? But you see, the Megillah says the opposite. That kimu v'kiblu, once they reached the state of realization, they realized the lesson, the limud of what took place. It was a limud not through svarim, it was a limud through events and through personalities that were right then and there. So why is it that you can't have, apparently, it's impossible to have kina and hatred with regard to envy, with regard to somebody else's perfection? Well, why not? I want to be a gadol. I want to be like a Moshe Feinstein. I want to be a Vilna Gaon. Why is it that can't be? It's an interesting question. Okay. Yeah, let's take another point first. It's interesting. You see, we said last week we identified a certain essential theme in the Megillah. Central theme in the Megillah. We said that what was the limud really? What was the limud? Yeah, Mara, that's true. They saw from these people, you know, Mordechai and Esther. And in opposition to that, they saw from Achashverosh and Haman, so they understood. They saw how the way of Torah. It's correct, yeah. But we said something more last week. We mentioned the fact that why was it Ein Esther Magedes Amo Malata? So I wanted to say the pshat was because Mordechai Tziva Allah Shalos Sagid, because he realized why were they chayav misa, because they were assimilating and they were nenemus mesudas achashverish. So nenemus mesudas achashverish, it's the beginning of a process of assimilation. So he knew, Mordechai knew, that it would be very bad for the Jews if achashverish would show them favoritism. So he knew that would be their destruction. So and we said that the limud was based upon that platform. What was the platform? The platform was that all the things that they did that were politically correct to do for Achashverosh in order to gain his favor, they all failed. Everything failed. Why did they eat from his mishnah? They want to show him that we're part of the Malchus. So they were really subordinating themselves to him. And they saw that with all that subordination and everything they showed him, how much they respect the Melech, how much they respect the king, he was going to destroy them. This same king was going to destroy them. And Mordechai, lo yichra v'lo yishtachave, lo yichra v'lo yishtachave, he said, on the contrary, that would be the thing that's going to kill you. But on the contrary, what happened? Mordechai yotzam l'fnei ha-melech b'vol sh'malchus tcheles v'chor. Exactly the opposite. Exactly the opposite. So what does that show you? What does that show you? It shows you that the Jew employs a crazy kind of logic. At a certain point, the Jew employs a crazy kind of logic. And basically, a Jew holds, the Jew uses politics. Chachma uses politics. Esther uses the Chachma. Mordechai was the first one. He was a Bishar Malach, and he told over what Bixam HaSeresh wanted. That was Chachma. Politics. See, it's an interesting thing. Mordechai, as a matter of fact, Mordechai and the Jews were doing the same thing, but they were both showing their loyalty to the king. You see? Mordechai showed his loyalty, and the ones that were Nenem and Sunas Achashverosh showed their loyalty. But there's one difference. The difference is that the ones that were Nenem and Sunas Achashverosh, they showed their loyalty by violating the system of Halacha. By violating the system. Mordechai showed loyalty, but no violation. So there comes a point, and that's a Yesod in Yadus, comes a point that a person realizes that he has to use a crazy kind of logic. Crazy kind of logic. A logic that would lead you to believe that you're going to be destroyed, and on the contrary, the person is not destroyed, the person is raised to the highest level. Okay? Yeah. Now, the question that I want to raise is this logic. Where is this logic really expressed? This kind of logic is expressed in one area. In one area. Which area is it that expresses this logic? This ideal, it's an ideal in Yadus. It's the same logic of Rabbi Akiva that said that if we stop learning Torah, that's like fish in the water. It means that just like a kalvachama, we can't exist. We can't exist. It's impossible. That was the logic of Rabbi Akiva, and it was the logic really of Avraham Avinu. He was the first one to employ that logic. The logic of Kivshan Aish. So this is the logic of Klal Yisrael, that there reaches a certain point where doing a thing which would seem damaging is really the very thing which saves the person. And we abandon all kind of politics, and this is the logic. Crazy logic. Where do you see this logic? This logic has a separate mitzvah. There's a very special mitzvah that really is based upon this logic. Which mitzvah is it? Practical mitzvah. It's based upon this logic. There's one mitzvah. There's one mitzvah that's based that this whole logic is expressed on a constant basis. Constant basis. It's the Yesod in Yadus. Tzedakah. That's right, exactly. Tzedakah is the mitzvah. Tzedakah is the mitzvah. Because tzedakah is really a crazy idea. Tzedakah means that you give away money, and on the contrary, not only don't you lose, you gain money. That's aser to aser. Aser bishvil teshetis asher. It's an interesting thing. It sounds crazy. Any businessman, you give away money, how are you gonna get more money? It's crazy. That's why tzedakah, really, the mitzvah of tzedakah, reflects to the greatest degree on a constant basis, a mitzvah that's always there, the crazy logic, which is you give away money, and on the contrary, you become richer, you become wealthier through this giving away. That's really the very halacha of tzedakah. That's the halacha of tzedakah. That's why the Rambam says with regard to tzedakah, it's an interesting thing. The Rambam says with regard to tzedakah that the mitzvahs. Matnas Aniyim, the Rambam says, Hilchos Matnas Aniyim. So the Rambam says in Perek Asiri, he says, Chayovin onu lizoher b'mitzvah tzedakah yoser mikol mitzvah saseh. It's an amazing thing. Rambam's Perek Asiri Matnas Aniyim. The mitzvah of all the mitzvah saseh in the Torah, there's one mitzvah that your person should be more careful, cautious about than any other mitzvah. Hanachas Tefillin, it's an amazing thing. I mean, Krishma, any mitzvah. The mitzvah saseh, which you're chayiv in the greatest zirus, the greatest caution. That means to say that a person has to have the greatest care in this area. That means before he has to be perfectly sure that he's really potter from tzedakah, the right, with the correct cheshbon, not to be a penny off, the greatest zirus. Is a person's obligated to have with regard to the mitzvah of the one mitzvah, the mitzvah is an amazing thing. All the mitzvahs in the Torah, tefillah, and every mitzvah say, this one requires the greatest zehirus. Why? Why is it so? Why should this require the greatest zehirus? The person should be so careful not to be over this mitzvah. So the Rambam says, he says, Shatzdoka simen letzadik zera avram avino. Shenemar, ki yedativ lemana sheyitzav es bonov lasos tzedakah. Okay, vein kisa Yisrael miskonein v'daso emes omedes elo b'tzedakah. Shenemar, b'tzedakah tikonani. Vein Yisrael nigolin elo b'tzedakah. Shenemar, tzim b'mishpati podev v'shaveh b'tzedakah. It's an amazing thing. Tzedakah basically is called a gula. That's what he's saying. It's called a gula. The gula is totally in tzedakah. The das emes is established through tzedakah. The zera avram, the simon for zera avram is tzedakah. Why? Because, as I said before, the one that established that logic was really Avraham Avinu. Ki yedata l'mana sheyisav esbon laso tzedakah mishpat. Tzedakah mishpat. Tzedakah is counter-logical. It goes against the practical logic. That's the one mitzvah. That is the one mitzvah in the Torah that is an act that demonstrates, determines whether the person really believes in the logic of Torah or whether he accepts the logic of the logic of business logic. You see, that's the area. That is the area. It's an interesting thing. Chazal say that a person that doesn't give tzedakah is considered an Oved Avodah Zarah. And they darshan a gzera shava. Why? Because it says with regard to ir and idachas, yotzu anoshim b'nei blial mikibecha. What is blial? Bliol. It means bliol. It means to say they don't carry the yoke of God. It means they have their own projections. That's avodah zarah. And it says the same thing. It says kiyia hishamalocha panyia im levavcha dover bliyal lemar korva shnasa sheva shnasa shmita v'roa incha b'chicha avyam v'lo sitin lo. So what is it? So it's an interesting thing. The word bliyal, the gzera sheva, is the Torah used the word. What Chazal is saying is the Torah used the word bliyal over here for a reason to show you that this is avodah zarah. And where did it's an interesting thing though. Where did it use it? Not in the positive, but in the negative. If you refuse to give tzedakah, if you can't give tzedakah, then it shows you that you're an Oved Avodah Zarah. Why? Because it shows you that the person thinks that he can establish his own security. He can establish his security through his own means, through his own logic. You see, and that's really against all of Yadus. Yadus maintains that man was given a mind and he has to use intelligent means to attain his goal. Political means, intelligent means. Never be crazy, never abandon his reason. But there's one thing that he knows. There's one underlying logic to the logic. And the underlying logic to the logic is that the end is, it's all taloi. It all depends upon how the person relates to the source of all chachma, that's God. And if his relationship to the source of chachma, if his relationship to God is not correct, then all the logic is worthless. Logic is, he can't succeed. It's impossible. If he thinks that he's going to secure himself through his own kind of protective devices, that's going to secure him. That's when he's gone off logic. You see? That's what Yadus demands. Yadus demands that the person recognize that he has to use logic. What did Yaakov Avinu use? Three things. He used tefillah, he used Doron, and he used Mochama. Logic, yes, that's right. But the logic is always dependent upon one underlying concept. And that is that the person can only succeed if he's in line with the source of all chachma. It's the recognition of chachma per se. That's the difference. That's what I mentioned last week. That with Haman, Haman recognized chachma, but Haman's recognition of chachma, the chachma was a tool, a means that subordinated to the instinctual end. Whereas Yadus recognizes chachma as being an objective, absolute reality. It's a subordination to the reality of chachma. That's the difference. So really, you see, so what comes out is, what results is, that's why the mitzvah that exemplifies the perfection that took place in Kol Yisrael, which is the mitzvah, Matanas Lavyanim. That explains Matanas Avihanim. That's what Matanas Avihanim is. That is the mitzvah. It's the one mitzvah which is the which a person is mechuyev to be careful about more than any other mitzvah in the Torah. Yeah, and you know, the, like the Rambam says. Rambam says it's halacha. La'olam ein adam me'oni min hatzdaka. Vein davar ra v'lo hezek niglal b'shvil hatzdaka. Shenemar v'hoya maisei hatzdaka shalom. That means that it's impossible. In other words, it could never. According to business logic, it's possible. Everybody knows that if you go broke, there's a point you reach where a person go broke, he loses everything he had. And that point, there could be a certain amount of money that just takes him over the edge. It's a logical thing. If he wouldn't have that last amount, could have been the amount that could have saved him. But what does Halacha say? What does Ram say? Halacha. That it's impossible that amount could be the amount that he gave to Zdaka. Impossible. That cannot be. So it's an amazing thing that this is a halacha. Ramaz is a halacha. It's a fact. It's a fact. Means to say, and that's really the Navi says, the Navi says in Malachi. What does the Navi say in Malachi? Uvechonuni no bazos, Amar Hashem Tzvakos. In lo... It wasn't supposed to be in low. Lo after lachem as rubas hashamayim, varikosi lachem bracha ad belidoi. So what does it mean? The Gemara Chazal say it's the only case where a person can test God is with Zot. So what does it mean? So what does it mean? I explained it one time because I explained the pshat is. It means, it doesn't mean that a person can just give tzedakah and expect a return of millions of dollars. What it means is, if the person says, I request lechem bracha ad belidoi, it means if the person gives tzedakah and his relationship to money is a rational one, in other words, it's not crazy. If it's obsessional, it borders on the insane, where there's endless greed, that God doesn't respond to. But a person is looking for, looks at money as just a vehicle in order that he should be able to live a life of perfection, and he gives tzedakah, he definitely has to succeed. That's the Navi says. It's another. So you see, this hashgacha remained in Klal Yisrael. This hashgacha remained in Klal Yisrael. It's just like really, as far as I can see, it's exactly the same thing like the Nisim that happened in the Mikdash and in the Bayis Rishon. It means that there's an element of Hashgacha that remains in the world with regard to this one area of Tzedakah. Why? Why is it so? The reason is because this exemplifies the whole philosophy of Yadis. This is the philosophy. The person doesn't give tzedakah, it means to say that he's not nizah, not only that, but he's not nizah on tzedakah. There's a chiyuv be nizah tzedakah more than any other mitzvah, because that's the entire philosophy of Yadis. It's the crazy logic that, on the contrary, giving away the money is how you get the money. It doesn't make any sense in terms of the bookkeeper. It doesn't make any sense to the bookkeeper. But it's the whole logic of Yadis. That's the logic of Yadis. That's what Matanas Avihanim was the Matanas Avihanim was the central mitzvah of the Purim. Okay. This is something I think we should be clear. If the person's goal is endless greed, then there's no hashgacha. That's what it says. Varkasim bracha ad beli dai. But okay, if there's no dai, there's no beli dai. That's it. There's no. That's it. Person, endless amounts of money. Anyone who's into endless greed, there is no hashgacha. The hashgacha is only for a person who's rational. Sees money as the proper, as a means. I don't mean the person wants to live bedachkas. I don't mean that. I mean to say a person that wants to live like the Rabbeinu Yonah says. That a person is the Sar of the Melech. And the Melech says, look, he says, you're my treasurer, take anything you want for yourself. Just make sure to give out, do exactly as I tell you to do with the money that I'm giving you. Yourself, take whatever you want, enjoy yourself. Means if our kosel and bracha ad beli doy, it means you have the person will reach a shear where he has more than he needs. There's no reason for the excess. He feels a sense of excess. A person who's involved, who's obsessionally involved with money, never feels excess. It's never enough. There's always another fantasy goal. That's not what the Navi is talking about. That God doesn't cater to that. That's the destruction of a human being. It's insanity. But a person who's rational in the kind of the person who's able to live bar vacha, everything he wants, he has more than he needs. That's the guarantee of tzedakah. That's the guarantee of Zion. So don't ask me questions. You can't ask questions of individuals. You mean, that's what the Pasuk says? That's what the Pasuk says. That it cannot be a case, there cannot be a case that the person will live be bedachlus if he complies with the rationale. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. Guarantee from the Navi. Guarantee from God. Yes. What did Achashverosh want, really? I mean, it wasn't so much that he wanted people to... he was so concerned about everybody's enjoyment. What he wanted was Baroso Eskvod Malchus Baroso Eskvod Malchus That's what he wanted to show. So the Jews could have come to see, tell the Melech it's wonderful, fantastic. But to be nenemis with it, that was the mistake. The mistake was that that's not enough. The mistake was, we'll show that see, if it was politically, they could have just, the Melech would be happy. See, they recognize him. But it was more. They wanted to show there's no difference between these subjects, us, and your other subjects. We're all the same. We're all united. That was the mistake. That was the hachna that destroyed them. That was the false hachna. That's right. He's right. Nobody was forced. Well, that's right. The pasuk says itself. Ain't on ace. No forced. And by the way, if you look at the Torah, look at the Shulchan Aruch of the Torah, you'll find out that Meiser is not so great. it's 20%. Meiser is Mida Bainis. 20% is really the amount. Mises meet a bainus. Okay, but anyways, that's the Rambam. It's the Yesod. It's Avram Avinu. It's Lasos Dokon Mishpat. So it's stuck as Yesod of Yadis. That's why it's Matanis of Yadis. Now the question is. Yeah, I wanted to get back to the to that's Matanis of Yadis. Wanted to get back to. Mishloach Maris, yeah. You see, we mentioned last week also, we said that there are two kinds of ego. So we mentioned Achashverosh's ego. That's an ego that a person has where they support their ego by pointing to certain accomplishments. Okay? So we said that it's a person that's not on the highest level. I mean, the person could even be a Russia. I mean, if that's his real involvement, it's a Russia. In Barroso, Asoshik, Roma, Malchuso. So he's a Russia. But we said, but that Russia is to be distinguished from another kind of Russia that intrinsically feels superior, doesn't even have a need for accomplishment. He feels superior, and what does he do? What he must have is the support and the recognition of the people. The support and the recognition of the people. That's like Haman, Hitler, all these people. You see, they don't point to accomplishments. They don't need accomplishments, really. The accomplishment is only an external phenomena, but they believe that they're intrinsically superior. That's Amalek. So you see two kinds of egotistical people. Egocentric people. Yeah. But there's a third person that was represented in the Megillah, and that was Mordechai. And Mordechai is the exact opposite. Because Mordechai is the person that requires no support whatsoever from other people. Where's the pasuk that shows this? The pasuk shows this by after Achashverosh gave Mordechai all that covet. The covet malchus, the highest possible covet that a person could imagine to receive. So what does it say? Vayoshev Mordechai el Shar Hamelech Chozar Lesako v'Tayniso. It means to say he was completely unaffected. He returned to his mourning, to his sackcloth, and to his mourning, which means that it was just an interruption. This cover was just a rude interruption. He had to put up with it because logic dictates you had to do it politically, you had to do it, but emotionally he was completely unmoved by the recognition of the people. You see three different kinds of people. people that are dependent upon others in two ways, one through accomplishment, one intrinsically, but he must have the praise of the people. That's his whole security, is that he constantly is being applauded and praised by human beings. And then there's another individual who, what human beings think, doesn't, immaterial, doesn't mean anything to him. That's Mordechai. Mordechai is in a different world, different reality. As long as he knows that his reality is his life is in line with God, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's all he needs. That's the people on the immaterial, nonsensical, doesn't add anything, doesn't do anything, doesn't is meaningless, can't mean anything. Actually, when there's one thing that you have to say. And that is that insofar as a person is affected by people, by the recognition of people, insofar as he's affected by the recognition of people, he must be in denial of God. Has to be that way. Why? Because it's an impossibility for a person to recognize God in people. This is impossible. Because if his reality is God, what do people? People have, no, it's meaningless. It's absolutely meaningless. So insofar as a person is moved by the recognition of other human beings, it is ipso facto a denial of the recognition of God. It has to be. Must be that way. But of course, I mean, we're talking about a very high level. What does Chazal say? Chazal say, halavai, that a person should have mara shamayin kamara basav adam. But it's an extremely high level. But that was the level of Mordechai. That's the level of a Navi. So therefore, what I want...
Is that emotion? Is that simply just one example?
Let me put it this way. A person cannot say that my life, I'm happy with my life, because God recognizes me and people recognize me. It's impossible. Only people. If there's a recognition, as far as recognition of God, people are meaningless. It's impossible. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. There's no. You can't be toe-faced these two together. It's just like it's tied to the sorcery. It's impossible. It's an impossibility.
The others.
That's right. Acknowledgement by others is, if insofar as that moves a person, it's ipso facto denial of God. Has to be the way. Yeah. Yeah, Matzachem Beini Elokim VaAdam is a barometer. That's a Zui Derech Yishara SheYivolo Adam Koshi Teferes Lo Sel VaSeferes Lo Min Adam. It means that if you're living properly, we'll get to that in a minute. If you're living properly, so then people will recognize it also. Tamid Chacham Marbim Shalom BaAdam. Okay. Now Okay. Now the thing is like this. The question was, why is it that a person cannot have envy with regard to a metaphysical good? You see, a person can't have envy with regard to a metaphysical good. Like, there can't be any kinon and sacharus competition with regard to perfection. Why not? He's more. I'm envious of the fact that he's more perfected than I am. The answer is, that envy always stems from the recognition of man. It always stems from that realm. See, if you're envious, the envy is always because of the fact that this person is getting a certain kind of recognition from other people. It's rooted in the world of psychological reality. In the world of, in the absolute world, the world of absolute reality, it's an impossibility. It's nonsensity. Because in the world of the absolute, the person's concern is simply with regard to himself. I mean, that's his reality. And with regard to achieving and attaining perfection in reality. The other person's existence has nothing to do. The comparison is always, because in the back of that person's mind, there is a human judge, and somebody in the back of their mind that they're trying to satisfy. You see, some kind of a, some kind of a of a norm that is rooted in a human person that's giving an evaluation. You see, that's the best way I can explain it. But a person who's interested in perfection is only interested in one thing. He's only interested in reality. Reality is only concerning him. It's an interesting thing. You see, Chazal express, like the Gemara says in my Katan, I think it was Rav Chisda, I don't remember it. He said that I was mispalel for two things. I was mispalel that I should have the wealth of I think it was Rav Papa. I'm not sure. I don't remember it. Another Amar, yeah. And I was also mispalel for the anivus of a certain. I should get the anivus of another one of the Amorim. So he said one thing they gave me, another thing they didn't. The money they gave me, but the anivus I never they didn't give me. That I wasn't zachata. So, but if you read that Gemara, you see, it's not an envy with a kinoa. You see, it's a recognition. It's different on the contrary. It's a recognition of the perfection that this individual had, and a desire to attain it. And he said, at the end of his life, he said that they didn't. That's it. I wasn't zochet to this. They're realistic. See, but that's not envy of the kind we're talking about. That's not envy that creates sinah. That's on the contrary. That's a different kind of a thing. That's a recognition of a reality that this person had a reality, and I was always mispalel that I should be zochet to have this man's level of anivus. This person's level of anivus. Of course, anivus in Yadis. Is not social anivus. It's a deep concept, it's a deep idea. It means a recognition of the person's place in reality and overcoming of the psychological reality. It's a recognition of a true metaphysical reality, his real place. And it's a difficult thing because it's a fearful thing. There's a tremendous fear. It means to say, I mean, it's a fear of insignificance. It's a fear of insignificance carries with it in a human being a tremendous fear. Tremendous fear. It's almost like you pull out the rug from under him. He's insignificant. He's nobody. You see? But I, somebody in the eyes of God, that's a very difficult thing for a person to be able to have that, to be totally his mind, and his mind, the only reality is God's reality, not man's reality. The only reality is God's reality, not man's reality. To negate it totally. So it's a tefillah we say every day. The question is how much kavanah we have. Elokein etzol shenim eroh. Kalalai nafshi sidon, the nafshi ke ofala kaltia. That's an amazing tefillah. Amazing tefillah. To end the Shemoneh Esrei off with. It's unbelievable. But that's what the tefillah is. And then it says after that, the nafshi ke ofala kaltia psachli bibitzar secho v'mitzvah secho tedaf nafshi. It means to say that the only way that a person can really be involved in chachmas haTorah l'shma is only if he can tolerate nafshi ke'ofala kaltia. That's the only way. That's the only way. But that's a tremendous level. That's a tremendous level. It means a total negation. And a total negation. That is the desire that you see in people for fame and popularity, which is the most powerful desire, always appearing in different disguises, of course, but the most powerful underlying desire in this society is completely crazy, because in this society, a person can become famous for the craziest reasons. It doesn't matter what he is. He's a crook, he's a killer. As long as you put him on television, he'll be happy. So the whole thing becomes a desire for fame. That's the essence of our whole society, really. that's the biggest of our desire in this society. But the thing is it's not just a positive thing. It's not just a positive. I mean, positive everybody recognizes. Ego, glorification, people recognize that. The self-glorification and the person being, with the desire to be enthralled with his own greatness, you see, that's the positive aspect. But I want to tell you that there's a negative also. There's another side to the coin. Namely, that there is a tremendous fear that propels this desire. The fear of insignificance. Truth of the matter is insignificance is the greatest thing. If a person would realize how great insignificance is, I think anybody would choose it over being important. I'll tell you why. An insignificant person really has no worries. You don't have to worry about what you said to the guy last time, if he thinks this of you, he thinks that. If you were successful, if you impressed this person, you didn't impress them, it doesn't make any difference. You're insignificant anyways. If a person was to... killing themselves, they're living the craziest lives, they have the worst lives, basically. These people, they can't even enjoy the simple things that an average person should have. But the reason is because the person is propelled by a tremendous fear that he's insignificant. It's an abysmal fear, and to overcome that requires tremendous courage, godless Adam, to be able to do that. Requires tremendous godless Adam. Speaking with regard to Mordechai. Yeah. So what I want to say is this: that therefore a person who is interested in perfection. In perfection, in reality, it's not a comparative phenomenon. It's an absolute. It's an absolute. And therefore, what the other person has does not play any role. The reason why one is envious of another person is because of the fact that behind that is the recognition of people. That's why he's envious. Because he feels, I'm living this way, people would recognize me. I don't want to recognize him. He has more. The recognition is based, it's recognition of man, not the recognition of God. Recognition of God is a different kind of phenomenon. Does not, on the contrary. What I want to say is even further, that a person who has reached a level where they've removed from themselves the desire of recognition by man will find that they naturally have a love of man. It's an avas abrios. Avas abrios, I believe, is more. It's not just a rational thing. Avas abrios. I would say that avas abrios is an emotion. There's an emotional dimension to avas abrios, which is a natural one. And what is it? That a person naturally, if he would be removed from the hatred and the competitiveness and the sinner, the sinas chinam that he has for other people, if those imperfections were removed from him, he would naturally be imbued with a love for his fellow man. It's a natural thing. After all, he's a min ha'anushi. There's a certain identification that takes place. So the person belongs to the min ha'anushis. He belongs to Klal Yisrael primarily, and then it extends to min ha'anushis as well. And you see that great people had this experience. Sadi Goyen says, why did he write a sefer? Just because of that reason. He wrote a sefer. Why does Sadi Goyen spend time? After all, I mean, the things that he wrote in the sefer, he knew already. Writing a sefer is a very hard thing. Giving a shiur is easier. Why? You give a shiur, at least you give a shiur. There's interaction. You see something new. Somebody has a kasha. And last week we were discussing free will. Is that somebody has a good kasha? Somebody else made a suggestion. You come out with a new idea. But writing a sefer, I mean, even though it's true to clarify your thoughts, but on the whole, when Sadi Goyen wrote a sefer, I don't believe that for limud, it would have been much more appropriate to sit down and learn b'chavrusa. Arichas v'sayim is the real way to be kind of Torah. Why did he do it? He writes in his Hakdama. He did it because he felt impelled by a love, an ava for Klal Yisrael, for other people. For other human beings. And you see great people, truly great people, also have this experience. It's a great person that has experience. A regular person is not going to have it. But like you see that Albert Einstein also had that. That's why he went for Jews. He said, as a matter of fact, a month before he died, he wrote a letter to someone. He said, I want to thank you for making me aware of my Jewish soul. An amazing statement. And he really didn't have a knowledge of Torah, but he was on a very high level, a perfected person. And he went, he spent hours, he wasn't well for Zion, for Eretz Yisrael, Zionism. He felt a kesher. He didn't, in his early life, he was just the opposite. In his early life, he's a citizen of the world, and no identification with Klal Yisrael. But later, towards the end of his life, he started to realize a certain kesher, an identification. Why? Because that's a natural phenomenon. It's a natural phenomenon in man. Natural phenomenon. A person that's perfected will feel an identification and a love for another person. He can even tolerate the other person's imperfections. Even because avas abrios has to demand. Why can't a person tolerate another individual's imperfections? For a simple reason. Because he's not above those imperfections. You see, he himself has those imperfections, and when he sees another person that's trying to beat him out, to win, it's an adversary, because the battle's on, because he is in the same battle. Like we said last week, Muhammad demands common grounds. Can't have Muhammad over what? Nothing. There's no relationship. So with regard to this, also true. Same thing over here. That the reason why you have hatred towards another person is his imperfection is because there's a common ground. So it brings out a Muhammad. Is it? But if a person is above it, he knows that that's not the good. This is an unfortunate state that this other person is. It's always contradictory, because a person is always a contradiction, because people always espouse, they always maintain that the main thing is perfection, and yet they have a tremendous anger towards people that don't have perfection. But why? If perfection really is good, so this person is unfortunate, you feel sorry for him. On the contrary, it's tremendous hatred. Because truth of the matter is that down deep, they really believe that the good is what this guy wants, the same as he wants. But I'm suffering and I'm controlling stuff, and he's not. That's not fair. That's not fair. So people are always in a contradiction. But a person who recognizes what the true good is, really, has rachmanis for a person with his imperfections. It's an unfortunate thing. Unfortunately, suffering. A person has to be suffering. Anyone who's a chacham knows that he has to be suffering. So therefore, you can even feel ava towards an individual in spite of his imperfections. I believe that unless you can love another person in spite of his imperfections, I don't think you'd really have ava sabrias. I don't think it's possible. Because everybody has mishigas. You're not going to find a person without mishigas. And if you're not above that, you really can't have ava haftal recha kamach. It's impossible. You have to be on that level. So that's why mishloach man. And what does that level depend upon? It's the same thing as mentioned before. The level depends upon. It's really one theme in the whole Megillah. What's the theme? The theme is the recognition of the objective world of Chochmas Hashem. That's what it is. That's the one thing. Everything stems from there. And if a person has that recognition, that's the real world. So then the kin on the sacris is removed, and on the contrary, he has avas abrios. He has avas abrios, and that's mishloach manas ishlareil. That's reis. That's why the Megillah, which is really, as Chazal explained the Megillah, you see behind the scenes that the whole Megillah was kimu v'kiblu, a whole revolution with regard to Kabbalah Satorah. So that's expressed in these two mitzvahs. Mishloach manos ishlareihu, where there is no hatred, there's no kina, on the contrary, that there's a tremendous influx of shalom, and matanas lavyanim. Two things. It's expressed in the natural feeling of ava from one person for another person, and as I said, in spite of his imperfections. If you can't say in spite of his imperfections, then you'll never. Most people say, of course I love him. If he was a nice guy, it would be a nice person, of course. But he's this, he's that. Always many reasons why he's not mekayim v'haftal recha kamach. But truth of the matter, there's no reason. The reason is one reason. The reason is because he's on the same level. He can't rise above the level. That's the reason. Yeah.
I think it's the last
Yeah, that's right. Ram says, "Shem Sameach Levam Lolo Elu Elu Elu." Right. No, you're right. That's the whole of the. That's the essence of. That's a recognition of a different kind of reality. Reality, God's reality. So at any rate, the you see, that's why really it says that. That's what the pasuk says with regard to matanas avyanim. The Ram says, why is it ein adam me'ani min atzdaka vein dovar rav lo hezig niglal bishvil atzdaka shenemar v'hoya maisa atzdaka shalom. It means to say, you see, so it comes out that there's two kinds of. There's two things that express perfection in man. It's an interesting thing. One is where the person, it's been Odom Lachavero, where a person reaches a level where the kin is removed and it's a natural state of shalom. The second thing is that the contrary logic, the crazy logic, that by the crazy logic, which is that by giving away, he gains. By giving away the money, he becomes enriched. So both really have one common core. They're two expressions, but there really is, there's one common concept there. One common core. What's the core? The core is the recognition of the reality of the world of Chochmas Hashem and being in line with that reality. That's why it says Vahoya Maisa Tzedakah Shalom. It means to say that's the belief of the Jew, is that as long as he's in line with that world of reality, then no harm can happen to him. And if he's not in line with that world, no matter what kind of success he thinks he's going to have, but there cannot be, it's total destruction. It's exactly the opposite, it's total destruction. So the Megillah, the point I want to make is like this. We don't look for, when I say that the person will be successful, we don't mean to say that the person will in fact be successful, and that's what the person looks for, success in this world. That was the Maisa with Charan and Avram, and the Kibshon Eish. So Charan said, I'll see what happens. So he jumped in too. So it means the commitment. That's the commitment. Really, is it's like Maaser Rabbi Kiva. I mean, Rabbi Kiva used the same logic. Rabbi Kiva, Dalar Kedush Hashem. It means the logic is a true one. It means to say that this is what life is. A recognition of that this is life. And even if he dies, okay, so he dies. So that's less the superficial existence. But the real existence he's in line with. Real existence he's in line with. That's why when Mordechai did it, it wasn't a matter of he knew he was going to be successful. But the nes of Purim was that the fact that they were successful materially reflected, it caused people to see the true idea. It reflected the true idea, the real success, which is a metaphysical, underlying metaphysical success. You see? It was the material success reflected the metaphysical success. But the essence was the metaphysical recognition. Okay. Well, you see, let me explain. The Ava Sabrios is based upon the same concept as the recognition of Chochmas Hashem. It means to say, and I mentioned this many times, I said, what is Ava Sabrios? Ava Sabrios is like this, that if a person has Ava Hashem, he must have an Ava for the creation, which God endowed with that unbelievable ability. You say he must have an Ava for that. It's a natural phenomenon. But the thing is, it's actually, I'm glad you mentioned it, because it's really on two scores. I just mentioned insofar as the natural emotion of identification of the min anushis. That's one. But the Ava is really built on an even more powerful basis, and that's true psychologically. It's a psychological phenomenon that fits in line. But the Ava is really built on the philosophical basis, namely that a person must have an Ava for that creation that is endowed with the Tzelem Elokim, that has that potential. You must have an Ava. That's why a Russia there's sinner. By a Russia there's no such thing. and I see a lot of these people that write these articles today, that represent the position of orthodoxy. But what I see a lot of times, like they say that you're not allowed to hate anybody. You know, no matter how bad they talk about, I mean, Rishi Olam even, they say, well, we don't hate them, we just hate their actions. That's not true. That's against Yadus. The Pasuk says, David HaMelech says, Ki mesanecho areshem esno. That the ones that hate God, I hate. Why? Because the Avas Abrios is based on that potential. The potential that God gave man, the potential to this unbelievable, I hate to call it a tool, I mean, it's a means, vehicle through which he can perceive the ultimate reality, Chachma of the Bria, what's behind the secrets of the universe, the secrets of Yadis, of Torah, of Chachmas Olakim. So that, anyone that's endowed with that ability, you must have an Ava for. provided the ability has not been so distorted that it's incapable of functioning. In that case, then there must be sinner, because you must say that this person took this great gift and totally destroyed it. That's then that evokes sinner. That evokes sinner. See, that evokes sinner. But if the, as long as the person has the potential, he has weaknesses. He has, you know, the Rav said a good shot. The Rav said, "Yitamo chatoyim min ha'aretz." So he says, "Chatoyim v'lo chotim." So the Rav said a beautiful shot. He says the difference between chatoyim and chotim is a chote is a person that commits a sin. Chatoyim means his essence is his chait. Manshei Sedom royim v'chatoyim lad Hashem ha'or. Yitamo chatoyim min ha'aretz. Chatoyim v'lo chotim. Come on, brachas. Chotim means the person committed a sin. Chatoyim means that's his essence. So there must always be an ava for chotim. Chotim, everybody's a chotim. Weaknesses, nonsense, mishigas, crazy things, you must still have an ava, because the potential is still alive. But if the person reaches a point where the potential is totally destroyed, then on the contrary, it evokes sinner. He took the greatest gift and he destroyed it. Has to evoke sinner. The same, it's just like avas Hashem and yiras Hashem are two sides of one coin, the way the Rambam explains it. Avas Abrios and Sinas Arusha are two sides of the same coin. It stems from the same exact source. And in terms of identification, of course, there can't be any identification between the tzaddik and the Russia. So psychologically and philosophically, it evokes sinah and hatred. But it's a different kind. What the world fails to recognize is, see, the world is shallow. I mean, they try to take over things from our Torah and make a religion out of it, but without any depth, without any knowledge, without any understanding. So they thought, I mean, of course, they didn't. That doesn't even hold water in terms of the facts, but they thought that it's bad to hate a person. They thought, I don't know where they got this from, but the other psukim they never looked at, and they came up with this crazy idea. What they failed to understand is that it is a personal hatred that is bad. Personal hatred that the Torah is against. But a hatred that's based upon avas Hashem and avas mishpat and chesed, you must have a hatred towards an individual whose whole essence is to destroy human beings and to destroy their lives. There must be a hatred. Must be a hatred for an Arafat or for a Farrakhan. If a person doesn't hate a Farrakhan or something, then he's lacking in his whole his whole attitude towards Yadis. So it must be a hatred like that. But I'll get back to those two points. There's one. I see now that we came this far, I think you can understand it's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing that we have a yomtiv, we have a holiday that's based on two opposite themes. One is Ava and one is Sinah. It's an unbelievable thing. What is Purim? Mishleach Monai Sishlari Eyu Matanis Lav Yoinim. And what is the other theme? Mechias Amalek Sinas Amalek. It's an unbelievable thing. How could you have one yontif that has two absolutely contradictory themes? The answer is that they're not contradictory. Exactly. It's like we said. It's simply two. If you understand what we mean by Avas Abrius, what Yadis means, what the Torah means by Avas Abrius, you'll understand what Sinas Amalek is. And the reason why, and this causes the worst, the failure to understand this is what's responsible for most of the agonies of the American society insofar as justice is concerned. Total distortion of justice. Why? Because they're imbued with the Christian ethic of love. I mean, I'm not going to even talk about the fact that it's a sham and a farce, but the even people who try to follow, think it's an ideal, what happens is it totally destroys the society, because if it's simply an emotional plane, and it's expressed towards the Russia and towards the worst human beings, this emotion is expressed, and there's always guilt involved whenever you implement justice and you save an innocent person. There's guilt because the concept of love is a total distortion, and that's why the society suffers so much. That's why society suffers from lawlessness, because of the crazy Christian idea of love. But in Yadus, it's a completely different idea. There's no contradiction for us to celebrate Avas Abrios and sinan mechias amalek. No contradiction. Because the concept of Ahava stems from one thing, from the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed man with the greatest gift. So someone who destroys this and wants to destroy this in others must be hated, must be a hateful character. That's the Yesod of Yadus. All right, now let me address the two points I will mention. First one was Kinas Sofrim Tar B'Chachma. Yeah, Kinas Sofrim Tar B'Chachma is the Gemara in Bav Basar. So, first of all, as Danny once mentioned, it doesn't really say that that's a mitzvah. It doesn't say that. But, in other words, here you're talking about a practical halacha. It's a practical halacha that you have melamdik tinokos, and you're not permitted to, to make laws that prevent another malame to come into the area. He shouldn't be a competitor with the first malame. Yeah, so I could tell you it doesn't matter whether they're perfected or not. But the fact is, this is halacha, which is in terms of the society. It's a societal halacha. In other words, the Gemara says that a tzibur has a right to protect itself. That's what the halacha is. So one tzibur has a right to protect itself from being impoverished by another tzibur. So therefore, they could prevent people. It's really foreign trade. They could prevent foreign trade. That's what the Gemara is about. That a tzibur has a right to protect itself and to impose sanctions against foreign trade. But the Gemara says you can't do it when it comes to Melamdus. Why? Because if you do it over there, you're destroying the society. Because the whole benefit of the society is Chachma. And if you're going to impose sanctions, so it comes out that this, well, you have this Rebbe's guaranteed a position. So therefore what happens is, so he doesn't have to worry about his performance. So on the contrary, what you're doing is you may be economically improving the society, but you're destroying the society in terms of the advancement in knowledge. So you can't do that. So that has nothing to do with Kinas Sofrim over there. Is not presented as an ideal. It's simply a fact of life. It's a halacha benageya to a tzibur. That a tzibur would be harming itself. In other words, the imposing of sanctions is basically because they want to protect themselves from economic depression. But the foremost concern of a society is depression in terms of knowledge. That's the worst depression. So therefore, you can't do that. That's all the Gemara is about. So the Gemara really, you have to understand that. No, it doesn't have nothing to do. The Gemara, the framework of the Gemara has nothing whatsoever to do with the ideals of a Chacham. It's not talking about that. You have to understand the framework of the Gemara. So that's why that's absolutely no problem whatsoever. But what?
On a practical basis.
Yeah, right. Pedagogy. He's talking about Malam de Tinaikis.
No, pedagogy is saying.
Yeah, that's right. It's the capitalistic idea, basically.
Right.
That's right.
Competition.
Competition is very good. But the only thing is that a tzibur has a right to protect itself. In certain instances, you see what happens. The Gemara is not talking in the framework of an ideal. The Gemara is saying it's true that when you have competition, so then people do better.
Is this a Memtes?
Oh, yeah. So that's first of all. The Gemara is not talking in terms of an ideal. The Gemara is talking in terms of a practical halacha. I mean, that's basically the answer. But the truth of the matter is, like the Gemara I mentioned before, Ma'at Katan, is also true. That when a person sees a certain perfection in another individual, I don't think that's the Gemara of Babas, in my opinion, but it is true that when a person sees a perfection in another individual, it does arouse in him the image of that kind of a phenomenon, and he searches for it also. It caused him to search for it too, like the Gemara, I believe, was Rechista. He saw that individual that embodied perfection in terms of anivus, so that caused him to search for it. That is true, that there's such a thing as a person is guided by the senses. So when you see someone that has perfection, it has an effect on you. It shouldn't have an effect of jealousy in the sense of like a competitive jealousy, but it should say, "Wow, that person reached that level. It's an amazing thing." So it's something that serves to set an individual's sights, if it's in a proper way. In that sense, if you use the phrase kinasof in that sense, it's okay. But I don't think that's what the Gemara is talking about. The Gemara is talking about halacha. I'm just telling you that there is that sense also. Okay. Now the next question was that mishloach manas. That's right. That mishloach. You're right. I mean, what can I tell you? It is a crazy thing in our society that the Rambam says should be ma'ab ma'atanas levyalim the mishloach manas. But I don't think in our society it's exactly the opposite. That the whole day to spend in mishloach manas. So I mean, there's no question about it. You see Chazal didn't do it. You don't see Chazal doing that. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says the Gemara Megillah that they tore Maroyim. So they're in Manas after Mishloach Manas. Machlef the Suda. I mean, it doesn't seem to spend the whole day in Mishloach Manas. So this is an American. This is like they say in Israel, Minig Amerikoi. American Minig, to spend the whole day in Mishloach Manas and to outdo the other one and make sure that you accept the better Mishloach Manas. That's, of course, that's, I mean, that's what the Navi says. The Navi says, what's the Pasuk? The Pasuk say, Ki Yeshorim Darker Hashem, Tzadikim Yelchubo, Uposhim Yikashlubam. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is. It's a total distortion of the very mitzvah. Total distortion of the very mitzvah. That's it's unfortunate. I mean, that's what happens. If you don't, that's what Chazal say, Godo limud shem mevi lidei maisa. Because without limud, there really is no maisa. That's what it means. Because if you don't have the limud and you don't understand it, so what is the maisa? It's a maisa kof balma. It has nothing to do with the perfection. It has to be limud. Godo limud shem mevi lidei maisa. Okay.
Yeah.
Why are both mitzvos in the context of Suda? I'll tell you, there's a good reason for it. There's a very good reason for it. Because that's what I think the Rambam is addressing. What the Rambam says in Hilchos Yontif, that Suda is a wonderful thing, but Suda, if it becomes an end in itself, it's a dangerous thing. See, Suda is a dangerous thing. Because Suda caters to the Taivas. And therefore, what happens is the person has a matir, to involve himself in Taivas. I mean, I don't want to point any fingers, but the fact is that for some people, Purim is a wonderful time to simply release their crazy emotions. Of course, it's a mitzvah to get drunk, and then machmer, it's not nighttime. So you see that that's not the shikras that Purim Takanas Marach and Esther had in mind, really. There is halacha of shikras and even hayolus. But it's a different kind of, it's a hayolus that's based, motivated on a different basis than the wild hayolus. You see? It's true, it's a maisa of hayolus, but it's a kiyum of perfection. There's a framework of perfection behind the hayolus. But if that framework is lost, it just becomes regular hayolus. That's not anymore, that's not, what does Rambam say? The Rambam says we've got the Sudas Yontif. He says, "Ein ze simcha shal mitzvah, ela simchas kreso." Simchas kreso. So the suda is a dangerous thing, because suda caters to the emotions. So therefore, the person can take the suda and use it as a simchas kreso. Close the doors, enjoy his food, enjoy his drink, be involved in his own physical pleasures. That's simchas kreso. It's not according to the Rambam. You're not yetsa suda yanta for that. It wasn't yetsa. That's not suda yanta. Something else. So Suda's Yantav demands that the person, Suda is to put a person in the proper frame of mind for enjoyment. Enjoyment of what? It must be enjoyment of the enjoyment of the fact that he is so fortunate that he was given the opportunity to have perfection. That's what the enjoyment is supposed to be. That's what Simchas Yantav is. A person should be so happy that he had the opportunity to have perfection. That's what the Simcha is about. So therefore, what Chazal did was beautiful. They took the Suda and they said that they made a part of the Suda. The Suda should be tied to the two central themes of Yadis. Precisely in the Suda where a person is prone to be engaged in his own enjoyment and pleasures, so Chazal took that vehicle, and they said, this vehicle must have, from this vehicle must stem the Yesodei Adas, which is perfection in terms of Reus, and perfection in terms of matanas levyonim, that a person recognizes the logic of Torah, the logic that's exactly the opposite of the practical logic. That's the, if you recognize that recognition, then the suda has a simcha to it. The suda has a simcha about that. That's what the Rambam ties it. Really, the Rambam ties together. He says, "She'ein simcha lo sameach levim lo." What's it got to do with it? But the pshat is, that the simcha has to be tied to a, it's like I mentioned with regard to Yaakov and Yosef, where it says that, what does it say about Yosef Tzadik, the Pasuk says, that kiven zekunim lo. And what does the Tirgum say? Bar Chakim. It means to say that he couldn't just enjoy him just because he's a son. His son in Amoritz is going to enjoy him. Enjoyment is only, he's a Tamachacham. Then he can enjoy the emotion. And as Rabbi Rosenthal mentioned, the Chazal, La Yehuda Moisa Oro V'Simcha V'Sason V'Yakar. So what does Chazal say on each one of these things? Oro Zu Torah. Simcha Zu what? Simcha Ziyantef. Sason Bris Mila. It means, what do they mean? The Akar is what? Is Tefillin. Tefillin Shorosh. It doesn't mean the Chazal trying to find all the... What are the Chazal doing there? What is the Tefillin Shorosh is not the only mitzvah. Many mitzvahs in the Torah. How do they single out these mitzvahs? It means what they're trying to say, what they're trying to show is that the whole simcha was always tied to a mitzvah. It wasn't just an empty simcha. It was a simcha, the happiness, the real happiness is that the person was given the opportunity for perfection. That should make a person very happy. That's really the mitzvah of Yontif. What is the mitzvah of Yontif? Mitzvah of Yontif is that that's why they say the only guy in the Simchas Torah, the only guy in the biggest masmid possible. So the only guy would take off time to go and dance in front of the Sefer Torah. Dance wildly in front of the Sefer Torah. Why? He's wasting his time. He didn't waste a second. What's the answer? The answer is because Yadus. It's an interesting thing that Yadus in general tries to teach a person to look away from himself. That's what it tries to do. Yadus really tells a person one message. That the way you want to find happiness by thinking about yourself and how fortunate you are, the way you find happiness is by thinking about things outside of yourself. If a person's unhappy, you sit and learn Torah. Engage in ideas. Then you feel happy. The happiness comes from, that's again a part of the crazy logic of Yadus. Now you would think that you want to be happy, so you should think about yourself and see if you're happy because of this, you're not happy because of that. So that's the American cure. Go to a psychiatrist. Psychiatrists get more involved with yourself, and then you'll see if you're happy and why you're not happy, and you can do this and do that. You take a look. I take a look at all these people. I see they're the most unhappy people you ever see. There's a new kind of therapy in this country. The therapy is that you go for 30 years for therapy. The problem is that the disease, the therapy has to outlive the patient. I mean, it's not shaykh for the person to ever get cured. I mean, when is he going to get cured? But what does Yadus say? Yadus says just the opposite. That the way for a person to be happy is to engage in something outside of the self. Forget about the self. The only happy person is the person that's involved in something outside of himself. In chachma. The more he thinks about himself, the more unhappy he's going to be. So, the same Yada says, but there should be a time when a person does reflect upon, it's an interesting thing, where a person does reflect upon his own state, and he is happy about himself, binageya to the fact that he was given the opportunity for perfection. Because apparently Yada does recognize that a person wants to think about himself. Doesn't deny him that. He does, but there's a time for it. Not constantly, but there's time set aside. Yomtiv Simchas Yomtiv was set aside for that. So you see, according to her, a few times a year, it's broken up. A few times a year, a person is supposed to reflect. Should endure, reflect about the fact that I'm fortunate that I had the opportunity that God gave the Torah, gave the opportunity for me to live a life of perfection. Should think about that, and it should make him happy. So that's why the Vilna Gaon, even though he's the biggest masmid, but nevertheless, with regard to Simchas Torah, that's the mitzvah. It's Simchas Torah. The Gaon held that the height of this philosophy is really in one yontif, Shmini Atzeres. That's what the Gaon held. The Gro held that philosophically, if you look through the Yom Tov, you see it's true, because Shmini Atzeres is the yontif where there's no mitzvahs. No sukkah, no lulav, no. There's nothing. It's God says, Bonai, Itzru atzeres means ikvu imi od yom echad. It means that now you have an opportunity to be privately with a melech. Means the total enjoyment of the fact that you have the mitzvahs, and all the other mitzvahs amaisias are canceled. You see, so that's why the Gros says that Shmini Atzeres reflects the height. That's where it reaches culmination in Shmini Atzeres. So that's why so there is a chiyuv on the part of man to reflect upon himself occasionally and to realize how fortunate he is in terms of the fact that he has the mitzvahs. But of course, that's the medium of Suda and the medium of Yayin and Simchas Yantov and Basav Yayin. That's a medium for that a person should be in that state. Because ordinarily, you see in the Torah, we don't like the state where a person can't think. A person's mind is compromised. That's not what Yadis looks for. That's what Gaia looks for. But in Yadis, we always look for a state where we have a clear mind. Nevertheless, you see, Basav Yayin is a mitzvah on Yantov. So it's a state where the mind is compromised. Can't paskin alocha, asal haros. But why? Because Yadis recognizes that man does have in his nature the desire to reflect upon himself and to think if he's fortunate or not fortunate. But he shouldn't cater to it constantly. Then it becomes an obsession. Then he becomes unhappy. But what he should do is occasionally, he has to spend time and realize that he's fortunate. But the fortunate, how is he fortunate? He's fortunate with regard to the fact that he has been given the greatest gift, entitled to gain perfection through Chochmas HaTorah. That's what he has to realize. Yeah, that's right. You mean to say that the Simchas Torah, the minig of Simchas Torah, that's very good. The minig of Simchas Torah isn't just stam. It means because it's based upon the whole Masorah. And that's why the minig that with the Sameach on Simchas Torah is really based upon the whole philosophy and understanding of Shmini Atzeres. That's where it stems from. And that's stam, okay? Yeah, that's right. That's correct. I'd like to mention that we're collecting Maos Chitim. We're starting to collect Maos Chitim
right now,
and it's important. It's important. There are a couple of individuals that are in need, and we're collecting for them.